said Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
You know, I think after we get through the celebrating 25 years of Don Tony Promotions, I think we got to start focusing on the longest running wrestling show on the net. Yeah, we've gone through hosts over the years, but one thing has been the same common denominator. I am here for all of you, and welcome. It is Saturday night, May 21st, 2022. My God, we're already approaching June. Am I getting nervous yet? September 3rd is the day. Is the day I will be officially off the market. It's flying. Here in New York today, we hit, I think, like 85 degrees. It is hot in here. I don't want to blast the air conditioner because I know it makes noise, but I'm going to have to probably put it on at some point during the show. Now, you know, I've always said to you all that I would never plug a product or any item on these shows, unless not only do I recommend it, but I use it for myself. And tonight, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Later on in the show, I'm going to give you two package recommendations that your package will thank you for. I kid you not. And remember, Father's Day is coming up. What a perfect Father's Day gift. I am not only an advertiser, I'm a client. I have it on silent mode right now. Yeah, you could shave your nuts. We have a few hot topics to talk about tonight. You know, it's a subject that you will not find social media, even my supporters, you will not see them really supporting the tweets that I post and the way that I word it. Because you can make the general statement that good for Sasha, good for Naomi. It's about time that the bigger names are confronting their employers. You know, promises made, promises not kept. You know, good for them. Women's wrestling, you know, you should stick up. Like CM Punk said tonight, it doesn't matter if your opinion or your coworker is positive or negative. Would have been nice if you did that December 31st, 2021. Stand with them because they'll do the same thing to you and you'll wish someone helped. Look, I know CM Punk means well, but I don't take advice from people who already made it. They can be inspiring, but they always offer the advice after they make it, after they're at the top of the world. They don't have to deal with these issues. So yeah, you could tell everyone else, but that's why I don't take advice from millionaires and billionaires. I'll be inspired, but you know, I know what I'm doing. You know, good for Sasha, good for Naomi, good for women speaking up, good, confront your employers. You've been sold a magic bag of beans, smoke and mirrors, broken promises. But when you get a little more specific, that's where everybody's like, stay away from me. Case in point, AEW, Double or Nothing, is coming up. In what, 2 weeks? As of today, May 21st, 2022, they have 40 wrestlers scheduled to wrestle. Of those 40, 34 are men. Only 6 are women. WrestleMania Backlash just came and went. They had 16 wrestlers perform on that card. Of the 16, 14 were men. 2 were women. NWA, They had, we're not going to count the Crockett Cup because that's a men's tournament pretty much. But you look at their power trip that just went down in April. 24 people performed on that card. 19 men, 5 women. So when you add up AEW's Double or Nothing, WWE WrestleMania Backlash, and NWA, the three promotions that everybody has this perspective that women, even playing field, blah, 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 blah. You add those three together, 75 men performed, 13 women. You know, it doesn't seem like the women's evolution is really coming into its own after all of these years. It's smoke and mirrors. We're going to talk about that a little more in detail in a little bit. I found some amazing quotes from Tony Khan and Kenny Omega about AEW and their women's wrestling. Now, I will tell you this. I truly believe in my heart that Kenny Omega's heart is in the right place. I think if it was up to Kenny Omega, half of the show would be men and half of the show would be women. But I did find a little gem. In a matter of a month, you got to hear the stark contrast between Kenny Omega and what he said 1 month earlier and 1 month after. You almost could sense that Tony Khan brought him into the principal's office and straightened his ass out. We'll revisit that. We'll revisit another comment that Tony Khan said. And look, before anybody says to me, DT, why are you singling out AEW? I'm not singling out AEW. The only reason why we could only pull comments from them is because WWE doesn't play this game. WWE does not publicly make promises that they really can't keep. Everything is done internally. That's why no one out there truly knows all the details about Sasha Banks and Naomi. You've seen what's gone on in the last couple of days. People are all shit. They're guessing. They're guessing. Oh, this went down here, and this happened there, and this is what happened here. And their contract. I saw some guy that used to work for WWE. He's going all over the place saying Sasha's contract is coming up soon. Motherfucker hasn't been there. How long? Okay, you throw that out there. When is soon? Well, soon is soon. Okay, when is soon? This is like a bad Abbott and Costa. Everybody wants to get jerked off right now. Everybody wants the attention. Everybody wants their name in lights. Everybody wants the hits, the clicks, the likes. Everybody's got to make a social statement about Sasha. Now, Sasha is not home sobbing it up. What am I going to do? WWE pulled all my merchandise. What am I going to do? She's at the Steve Aoki concert, living her life, having fun. She is going on and doing what makes her happy. You know, nobody is trapped in a box. You know, people online are angrier than I think the women themselves. It's amazing what I have watched over the last 5 days. We're not going to do that here. We're going to just point out, in opinion, what has transpired with women's wrestling in the last couple of years. You know, when you actually start narrowing it down, you know, you could take 2022 and change the date to 2019 and not much has changed at all. You go back to 2019 and hear Tony Khan making quotes, putting over Ty Conti, putting over Serena Deeb, putting over Britt Baker, putting over Layla Hirsch. That's pretty much it. Now, sure, we got Thunder Rosa now, and sure, we got Toni Storm and Ruby Soho. But again, I've pointed it out, Ruby Soho, up until recently, you know, what did she have, 15 wins on YouTube and one win on network television in 2022? You know, it's all smoke and mirrors, everybody. Fact of the matter is, the big wrestling companies out there know that wrestling is and will remain, for the foreseeable future, a male-dominated sport. They know the ratings reflect it, the merchandise reflect it, the quarter hours, everything reflects it. You know, the days of the swimsuit calendars and the risque photos. Yeah, you'll see it on all. It's okay, everybody. It's okay that somebody does it on an OnlyFans. But God forbid a pro wrestling promotion puts out for sale some risque, sexy, compromising position photos. In 2022, that's disgusting. That's terrible. That's bringing women back 40 years. But if the same woman had an OnlyFans account, you go, girl. You go. You go. I mean, people got warped minds out there. And for all the women that wrestle out there, you keep doing it, because the quality of women's wrestling has substantially improved over the last 15 years. The number of women's wrestlers that wrestle at an upper tier level has without question gone up in the last 15 years. The problem is when you look at these wrestling promoters and you actually look, everybody, just look at every wrestling card. Look at every event. How many years have to go by until you say, what the fuck is going on here? You know who I give credit? Take note. You know who I give credit out of all of this? Impact Wrestling. And yes, let's all admit, Impact Wrestling right now is in trouble. You just had the Briscoes. You know, the Briscoes. You look at social media, the Briscoes, oh my God. They're the team that everybody is dying to see in AEW. And I brought this up before. If my favorite wrestler is going to appear on television, and I don't get to see them rarely ever on TV, and they're going to perform somewhere else, I'm going to make it my business to watch my favorite wrestler, one of my favorite wrestlers perform. I don't give a shit what promotion it is. Hey, I haven't seen the Briscoes on TV in forever. Oh, they're going to be on Impact Wrestling this Thursday. Let me watch it. You know, my God, I love the Briscoes. FTR, oh my God, Ring of Honor, but they're AEW. All right, they're not in AEW. They're on TV. The ratings go down. The ratings go down. The main event at Impact, the ratings went down. I don't even want to tell you what the quarter hour is. Well, because I don't have it yet. But early reports coming in is it's not very good. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors, everybody. It's smoke and mirrors. You know, the quality of women's wrestling has gone up. But 10 years ago, you did have TNA, Knockouts Division. You did have your Awesome Kong and your Gail Kims. You did have one or two women's matches on a show. WWE had Trish Stratus, you know, Lita, which is the go-to for everybody. But you forget all the other women that actually started doing better. You know, from even Candice Michelle amped it up a notch. And Gail Kim, and you could go down Molly Holly. I mean, there's tons of people that I can mention. You even want to put the... I can't put the Bells in it. Sorry. You can't. That's like Fonzie. You know, he can't say... I can't put the Bells in that. You know, you look at... I guess we're staying on the topic now. And we'll talk about what went down yesterday on SmackDown. I was very, very surprised. Very surprised. But you look at this poster. Now, yes, I added some additional names to it. When you really look at this promotion closely, you look at the last 3 years, all right? Other than the Four Horsewomen and, you know, Ronda Rousey, you know, you look at these women up and down. Does it look like a lot of them have really gone up on the food chain? Main eventing, really gotten further. You got Tamina Snuka, who is running around with Tozawa chasing a 24/7 title. You have some wrestlers that are no longer there. You know, Liv Morgan, yeah, she's still young, but you look at this up and down. Where really has the progress been in the last 3 years? Evolution? Or is it just the same people getting pushed over and over and over again? I give Impact Wrestling credit. Even though it's not a ratings grab, and even though it's not a moneymaker, but they are featuring women a little bit more. Now, as far as Impact Wrestling goes, they just had Rebellion, okay? Now, let me tell you what happened with Rebellion. They had 27 men perform on that card and 9 women. So about 25% of the wrestlers on that card were women. an extremely low number, but still higher than the other promotions. But, one match on Rebellion was an 8-elimination tag team match for the tag team titles. So in that one match, you had 16 participants. 15 were men, 1 woman, Jordynne Grace. You take away that one tag team tournament elimination match, Impact's Rebellion across 8 matches had 12 men and 8 women. Very, very even. I think NWA is starting to feel the pressure a little bit. They had Empower. Remember Empower? Where's the progress since Empower? Where's the revolution? Where's the evolution? Where is the rise of the women's division there? Power Trip 1, February 2022. 30 people performed on that card. 26 were men, 4 for women. Empower my ass. Power Trip 2, as we said earlier, 24 people performed on that card. Only 5 for women. Their event in June, however, they are advertising 16 men and 8 women. So a better number. But again, look at any event across all these promotions. Where's the 50-50? Now, I'm going to share with you some quotes going back to 2019 with AEW. And again, the only reason why we could focus only on AEW's quotes is because WWE does not do this. The investors know what's going on. If you thought the investors felt, oh, more women should be featured, that would be a question brought up in an investor's call. They never bring it up. You don't see the management in WWE going on interviews, making statements saying, we should do this, we should do this. They obviously give better time and quality time for their women. I mean, there's no question you go Becky and Charlotte and Asuka and Rhea Ripley and Sasha Banks and Naomi, Bayley. You know, they're all upper tier main event talent. But it's them and everybody else for the last 3 years. We're focusing on 3 years only because, in my opinion, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, and I think LaSalle said that earlier, Becky, Ronda, Charlotte was the ultimate test as far as women and their drawing power. And once that match went down at WrestleMania, yeah, you see two matches, you know, maybe 3 sometimes, but usually 1 is a throwaway. Oh, AEW's having Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay. No disrespect to Jade Cargill. She's still very, very new. I would not put, but, you know, people are like, oh, well, Jade Cargill and Anna Jay is going to be on the pay-per-view. Okay. You know, that's like me saying, hey, I had a massive orgasm last night, but no, I didn't have wild sex. I jerked off. The result is the same, but the quality to get there is much different. Don't give me that shit. People trying to throw that shit my way. Now you understand why so many people, they'll brush the broad statement. Sasha, Naomi, Big Swall, women, speak up. Address your billionaire employers. Address it. If you're being lied to, if you're being promised this, and they're not keeping their promises, speak up. Oh, that's popular. 10,000 likes to that. But when you narrow it down like this, hey, wait a minute, Tony. Hey, wait a minute, Vince. Hey, wait a minute. You go down the line, Billy. You go down the line. And now you're confronting an elite billionaire, and that is a no-no. That's why everybody paints the broad brush, but there's no excuse for that. This is 3 years gone by. Yeah, we're almost done with this. For people that don't like this conversation, but I think it's very important because nobody gets into it this deep. February 2019. Talk is Jericho. Tony Khan was on Talk is Jericho, speaking about the women's division over 3 years ago. Check out what Tony Khan's vision was with the women's division. Quote, "I think there's some amazing, amazing, amazing stuff being done in different places in women's wrestling right now. And I think there are enough athletic, enough talented, enough incredibly charismatic women to build a division. To me, they would be like the WCW Cruiserweight division, a division populated with great athletes who haven't had this kind of national exposure before, who are just going to shine under the spotlight and deliver really athletic, really fast-paced matches. Hide the razor blades, everyone. I don't recall the Cruiserweight division having to bleed profusely in order to get a T-shirt. You know, you look at some of AEW's greatest women's matches, it all involves blood and weapons, and I'm not against that. Not against that. But that was the vision, everybody, in February 2019. Oh, it gets better. I have, by the way, a little side note. We'll save another quote later. We'll save another quote later. When we address Tony Khan putting too many people on TV, on especially Dynamite, and it hurts some of the matches, oh, I found a quote for you. Holy fucking shit when I share this quote. And these are exact quotes. I am not going to just, you know, generalize it. Then someone could say, oh, you misquoted him. No, I'm not. August 2019, there was a panel. And on the panel, I believe it was Cody Rhodes, Jungle Boy, Brandi Rhodes, Awesome Kong, and Nyla Rose. They pointed out that there were more women than men on the panel. And Tony Khan that day was asked if the AEW women's division would get equal TV time as the men. Tony Khan's response to that, and I quote, and you will not read this anywhere, quote, "It depends on the week." Depends on the week. Tony, what week? What fucking week? This is over 3 years. This is three, well, not exactly 3 years. It's almost 3 years later. Tony, will the women get this equal time as the men on TV? It depends on the week. What, week 53 on a year? Week 54? He gets away with it. April of 2020. Kenny Omega. Pay very close attention to this with Kenny Omega, because honestly, to Kenny Omega, let me repeat this. I believe Kenny Omega's heart is in the right place. But obviously, this is not his promotion. And I think there's probably more of a struggle with Kenny Omega and Tony Khan than we all think. Watch the difference in his tone in 1 month's time. In April of 2020, now AEW has been on for a year. And Kenny Omega's asked about the frustration that women are not getting that much TV time. Kenny Omega's statement, and I quote, "It's the most frustrating and rewarding feeling at the same time. We have a vision for this women's division, and I always wanted to have it at the forefront. It's like, okay, Kenny, you've got the reins. Do what you can with 5 minutes of time." Imagine Kenny Omega saying it about his AEW, 5 minutes of time. Wait a minute. We got this huge, expansive roster. You have people chomping at the bit, raring to go. How am I going to introduce all these people with 5 minutes? How am I going to show just what makes them special? That was April of 2020. Kenny Omega expressing his utmost frustration, the lack of TV time. 1 month later, May of 2020, Deonna Purrazzo is gone from WWE NXT. AEW had the opportunity to sign Deonna Purrazzo. They were not interested. Instead, she signs with Impact Wrestling. 1 month later, after Kenny Omega made that statement word for word, somebody mentions how can't believe that AEW didn't sign Deonna Purrazzo. Kenny Omega's response to that, quote, "I'm truly happy for Deonna, but I'm incredibly proud of our division and its athletes. You should try watching some of our matches. Start with the recent title match from a few days ago, and then honestly tell me we need help." That was only 1 month after complaining publicly about not getting time. Tell me that doesn't feel like Tony Khan grabbed Kenny Omega by his blonde locks and said, "What the fuck you doing? The fuck you saying? You're making me look bad." January 2020. Look, we're still years ago. January 2021, about 15 months ago, Kenny Omega is confronted again about the women's division. His statement from January 2021, I quote, "I think we're taking baby steps. We have hungry performers who are passionate about getting a chance to do their best. Passion speaks to me more than the performance of a maneuver." Get the fuck out of here. Passion speaks more than the power of a maneuver. "And right now, our women are really chomping at the bit." There's that quote again, everyone. Chomping at the bit to get TV spots. "They're all training hard. Our roster keeps getting better. No one has lost their passion. They are still striving for that big goal, which is the women's division to get more time. I have the biggest smile on my face. The day that we get it, I know we will. I truly believe to this day that the women deserve more time, deserve their own show, center stage. I would love at some point, as time goes by and more AEW content becomes available, that is the ultimate goal." We now have Dark. We now have Elevation. We now have Rampage. Kenny, what do you want, seven fucking shows before the women get one? That was January of 2021. March of 2021, right before the Thunder Rosa Britt Baker lights out match. This is Tony Khan speaking about the women's division March of last year. Quote, "I think we've seen great development of the women's roster since AEW launched. Wrestling fans voted Britt Baker the most improved wrestler of the world last year for 2020 in the Observer Awards, and she's been a great leader in the women's division. I think Red Velvet's come in and done a really good job for us, and Serena Deeb's come in and only been great for us, but then as a full-time AEW contracted wrestler went out and won the NWA women's title. Serena, Red Velvet, and Layla Hirsch are great examples of people who weren't here at the beginning, who I think have upgraded our talent and stepped in and become great additions." That's 14 months ago, everyone. 13 months ago. What has changed? I know we got Ruby Soho, and I know we've got Tony Storm, but as we keep bringing up, they're superstars on YouTube. When it comes to network TV, though, it's totally different. Nobody has the balls to ever confront them about that. He also puts over Tony Khan. He says, "The women's division, we've signed a lot of great wrestlers and we've seen some development, but we've also had a huge movement in the free agency. I think now for our women's division, for us, is to have great new stars with buzz who are really added to the show in the past 6 months or so. Really helped a lot." And then he puts over Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. Now we get to the ultimate. November of 2021. A young teenage, I think she's a teenager, podcaster by the name of Ella J. Maybe early 20s, I don't know. She gets the opportunity on a conference call to ask Tony Khan about women having their own event. This was right after NWA Empower, you know, was all having all that hype. And while this is going down, quote, "The bar, I think, has been really raised this year with a lot of the women's shows and main events taking place But does AEW have any plans or hopes to maybe an all-women's event of their own sometime? One event. That was her question for Tony Khan. Tony Khan's response to this young girl, quote, I'm going to cut you off your question right there because I don't think I get enough credit for what I did for the NWA show because a good number of the people who wrestled on the NWA show were wrestlers I sent and paid. So I think I contributed because the highest paid wrestlers on that show were actually people I paid separately from what they already make in AEW. And I don't think they did a very good job in telling people that. This motherfucker wanted people in NWA to tell everybody, thank you, Tony, for paying for those wrestlers. That's all he gave a fuck about. It has nothing to do about a women's event. He wanted extra credit for paying women to wrestle for NWA. And you know that he got his ass handed to him at that time. He finishes up that diatribe by saying, so I have been and trying to actively make big strides in women's wrestling. And as far as the stuff that's been happening in all the women's shows that have been happening in other places, I actually have made great contributions, including financial contributions, which I think they've done a better job of telling, which they haven't done a better job of telling people, honestly. That's what you have had in the last 3+ years of Tony Khan with the women's division. Now we are 3 years later, and I just showed you. We have an event coming up. You got 40 wrestlers on the card, and only 6 are women. And a lot of people feel one of the matches is technically a throwaway match. So you tell me, you look at WWE, and yes, when they use Becky and they use Ronda and they use Bianca Belair and they use Sasha and Charlotte and everyone else, they get the time. They get the push. But the problem is it's only 2, 3, 4 at a time. And you see, you have on WWE's roster 8, 10 women that can be in the upper tier. But no, we need Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, nothing personal. You know, no. We need, you know, matches like that. Somebody said earlier, oh, we only have one women's match on WrestleMania Backlash because WWE didn't want anyone else to outshine Charlotte Flair and Ronda Rousey. The fuck does that mean? I mean, you should want the wrestlers to try to top each other. If you're that afraid that other women are going to perform on the card and maybe make Ronda Rousey look like shit, well, guess what? Ronda Rousey should not be on the card. So, in summary, as far as Naomi and Sasha Banks goes, again, the only people that truly know what's going on is Sasha and Naomi, WWE management, probably Naomi's husband, and a very, very, very tiny inner circle of people. Does anybody out there truly think that Sasha Banks gossips with ProWrestlingDick.com, that WrestlingClickbait.com? You think she mingles with any of these journalists online? No, they don't fucking know. They're guessing. Oh, exclusive news. Update on Stephanie McMahon walking away from WWE. The wrestlers did not know. They found out on social media. Meanwhile, if you looked hard enough, you would see a lot of wrestlers on social media saying, wow, had no idea, Stephanie, all the best. It's not exclusive breaking news. You read fucking people's Twitter accounts. Ooh, exclusive news. Nick Khan will be taking over Stephanie. No, that was the Business Wire saying that Nick Khan will be taking care of Stephanie's duties. None of these people online know anything more than what we know as far as Naomi and Sasha. But one thing that we can assume is that these women are not happy with their status in the company. You may think that that is ridiculous. You might think it's disrespectful. You might think it's unprofessional. But what is also unprofessional is when the management promises. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. You're going to have this. You're going to be this. We're going to do this. And we're going to push this. And then you realize these motherfuckers said all this shit just so to make us happy. Remember what I said the other day? It's like a baby with a baby. Remember that cryptic? We picked up on that 6-7 months ago. Remember when we picked up on it? I said, Sasha's making cryptic videos about Vince McMahon. Do you remember the infamous video I showed you with the baby crying? And then the father puts a stack of money in front of the baby and the baby stops crying and starts smiling. Remember that shit? We talked right here. What did we say that night? These are cryptic messages for Vince McMahon. That every time Sasha voices frustration about what they're being problem, no, let's just throw money. Oh, no, let's just say whatever you got to say to fix the problem. We'll worry about it later. Just say whatever you got to say now to get her off my back, to get so-and-so off my back. Whatever, okay, we're going to do this. Vince, I'm not happy, this or that. All right, well, look, you know, I see this happening, and once we're going to do this, you're going to win this, and then you're going to go here, and then you're going to go there. All right, that's better. And then they leave the room. Thank God that's over. You know, that's what's happening. It gets to a breaking point. And that appears to be what happened with Vince McMahon, Sasha Banks, and Naomi. Because that little bit that's been put online. And believe me, if that stuff wasn't true, I think by now, Sasha or Naomi or somebody would have went online and said, look, everybody, you know, none of this shit you're reading is true. Somebody's asking me online, where do I get my information from? What are your business? Seriously, what are your business? No, I don't mean it like that. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. I mean, you know, I think I am pretty accurate in everything that I've said here for 25 years. You know, it might be boring and it might not get clickbait. It might not generate 1,000 viewers because I'd rather not. Look at all the Roman Reigns stuff. How do you like that the last 2 weeks? Roman Reigns leaving. He's leaving. People, oh my God, he's leaving. WWE's in trouble. What the fuck are they going to do? This is that. Now you hear he's booked for the summer. He's booked into summer. Now you realize Roman Reigns is doing exactly what they did last year. Did not appear last year in Hell in a Cell. Did appear on Money in the Bank. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that like to be clickbaited. They like the gossip. That's just not for me. Rams fan, I don't pay attention to rumors as far as Roman's next three opponents. We talked about Shinsuke a couple of weeks ago. Ultimately, it's Drew McIntyre. Obviously, Cody Rhodes has got to be in there somewhere. I mean, you know, you could give me that he's going to face the Andre the Giant statue. It doesn't matter. But as far as Sasha and Naomi go, there's no question. Look at some of the other women who have spoke out with frustration that they are promised certain things and WWE does not deliver. Other promotions do not deliver. Here's a fact. People don't like when I say it, but it is a fact. Pro wrestling is, always was, still is. I can't speak for 10, 20 years from now, but it was, is a male-dominated sport. If it was not a male-dominated sport, you would have, just for straight up business, if you thought that more women would buy the network, buy the merchandise, buy this, if we had 10 matches on a card and 5 were women and 5 were men, you know that WWE could put another 6-man tag. Hey, let's have the New Day and Drew McIntyre versus Butch and these other two. I'm not saying it should be a pay-per-view match, but WWE could have, look, last WrestleMania Backlash was a 6-man tag team match as the main event. No titles on the line. Everybody loved it. WWE couldn't add more women's matches and just take a match that's instead of a one-on-one, you have 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. And you could still get the people on the shows. You could do another kickoff match or two if you want. But they don't, because pro wrestling was and remains a male-dominated sport. And if that was not true, you would see AEW after 3+ years, you would see WWE after Becky, Ronda, Charlotte. You would see other promotions, NWA and others. Oh, NWA in power to me was like putting a Band-Aid on a very loud sore online. Oh, let's give them Empower. Let's dedicate one night for all the women. And it was a beautiful show. And then right away, back to what we were doing before. And then it goes away. WWE Revolution. If that was such a tremendous success, why didn't they do a sequel? Why didn't they do more? If it, just for money-wise, if it was profitable, if the ratings increased, why not do it? Just for straight-up business. Because it's all smoke and mirrors, everyone. Women's wrestling has been around a lot longer than people think. And I go back to the early days of NWA TNA. WWE did have talented women on their roster back then. But they chose to have this much women's wrestling, and everybody else was, you know, Triple H and Mankind and The Rock and John Cena and Randy Orton. And, you know, you just go on and on and on. So you see small promotions. Thunder Rosa has a promotion, beautiful promotion, does a great job. You have others, Sean the Mick, as much as I don't like the guy and don't get along with him, he had WSU, you know, which was 20 years ago. You have had wrestling companies. We've had Glow, which was more comedic, but the point is you do have women's wrestling promotions out there that are really trying to showcase women's wrestling. The problem is you don't see these shows drawing 1,000 people, 1,500 people. They draw three rows. So they have to go online. Hey, do you want to sponsor this wrestler? Give us money and we'll put you that you sponsored this wrestler on the card. Basically what the promoter is saying is, do you want to pick up part of the tab? That's really what it is. And if a wrestling fan wants to do that, that's cool. I don't see nothing wrong with it. You look at StarCast. I'm not trying to put Conrad on the line. You look at all the announcements so far for StarCast. I probably could count the number of vaginas on one hand that has been announced. It is, was, and will be for the foreseeable future a male-dominated sport. And the women that are busting their ass, the women that are honing their craft, you got to just keep doing what you're doing. But what other people need to also realize is that you can't force, you know, women's wrestling or put the guilt trip on people. If you don't like women's wrestling, then you are, you know, a sexist, or you don't like women, or you're this. Yeah, you can't fucking guilt people into, okay, I like it. Are you happy? I like it. This isn't having asparagus when you're 6 years old. I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't like it. You're going to fucking eat it. Okay, I like it. It's good. It's good. You can't guilt people into doing it. You know, there are forms of entertainment that are women dominated. That's just a fact. There are some sports that are women dominated. You can't force it to turn into 50-50 because everybody should be treated equal. Every company should have equal men and equal women. That's not how the entertainment business goes. And this is the entertainment business. And again, after 3 years, ask your elite billionaire. Ask the leader of the universe. Ask, you know, the pumpkin smasher. Ask all of them. How come you have 30 men on a show and only 4 women? After all of these years, why? What are you going to say? We don't have talented women? Oh, no. Maki Ito in the Owen Hart tournament. Yeah, I'll go there. I'll say it. You know why I think Maki Ito was in that tournament? Because it's Asian Pacific Islander month. That's why I think she was in the tournament. I know that sounds horrible to say, but we also said, let's be honest, WWE, you're suddenly putting Mercedes Martinez and Jake Atlas in the main event in NXT. Oh, it happens to be, you know, LGBTQ month. You know, that's what these companies do. They're no different. Oh, we have this big cause, so we got to put, you know, extra Pacific Islanders on the show. Oh, it's Gay Pride month. Oh, we got to put showcase, You remember when Jake Atlas was in the main event on NXT? You remember what I said that night? I like Jake Atlas. I've always supported that guy. And I don't care if he's gay, straight. I don't care. But what did I say that night? Soon as Gay Pride Month is over, let's see where these wrestlers are in the food chain. Mercedes Martinez, gone shortly after. Jake Atlas, gone shortly after. I don't think it mattered if they were gay or straight. But imagine how they look back on it. I ask an honest question right now that is very controversial, but I'll ask it. You don't think that somebody who is gay that wrestled at that time for NXT and had a little bit extra push, you don't think at some point they might have looked in the mirror and say, did they put me in the NXT main event because it's Gay Pride Month and I'm gay? Or did they put me in the main event because I deserve to be in the main event and I am a talented motherfucking performer? You think anybody wants to feel that way? Hey, did I get put in the main event because I'm black? Did I get this title because of this? I don't think anybody out there would want that. They want to earn it because they are talented and they all deserve it. I've been a fan of Mercedes Martinez for 20 years and I am ecstatic that she's getting the attention she's getting right now. But I certainly don't want to find out she's getting the attention because she's gay. I want to find out she's getting the attention because she kicks ass in the ring. And this is what is going on. This is the smoke and mirrors that nobody talks about. They'll write in 320 characters on Twitter a general statement. If you don't support Sasha Banks and Naomi, you could all go fuck yourself. Oh, like. You know, all women everywhere, like CM Punk and everybody else statement. They mean well, but they make the general statement. Like. But when someone says, hey, Tony, how come you got 40 people on the show and only six are women? That's the difference. Everybody can make the general statement and look like they give a shit. But if they truly gave a shit, how come they don't bring this up? With every single... Impact Wrestling is the only promotion right now outside of the all-women's promotion. Thunder Rosa and Orland, they do a spectacular job. I wish they were bigger than what they are. But the fact of the matter is they're not. They're local, small, indie promotions. And you have to treat them as such. They don't get much on pay-per-view buy rates. They don't get much as live attendance. They don't get much for merchandise. You got to be a little bit extra creative. Like I said, with the sponsorships and everything like that. Keep fighting. Do not give up. But over the last 3 to 5 years, you still got your two matches. You still got your 4 to 6 women truly being pushed in WWE. And you know sometimes they're put in the main event because it just looks right. And you feel that if WWE truly felt that these people, then why is it not on a more even playing field? 16 wrestlers, the last pay-per-view, only 2 were women. That speaks a lot. And you go down the line. So Evolution, Revolution, last 3, 4, 5 years. AEW, last 3, 4, 5 years. No buts. You know, I just put out there a whole bunch of information that is true. There's nothing that I said that was clickbait or lies or exaggerations. I put it out there. And I did the research. So I don't know how you feel about this. Me, I have, just to summarize it, I'll say one thing in closing, because a lot of people always ask me, DT, how do you feel about women's wrestling? What would you say? Do you think it should be 50-50 on TV? And my answer is still the same. If the women wrestling in WWE are entertaining me more than the men, then give me more women's wrestling than men on TV. If AEW, if their women, their storylines, and their characters, if I'm into them more than the men's side, give me more. But I'm not going to say women should get 50% of TV time simply because they're women. I will never say that. Give me who are entertaining me the most. The problem is you don't see these promotions pushing it out there. Oh, but this person cut a promo. Anybody in their fucking right mind think? You look at Thunder Rosa when she won that championship. You look at it. At this pace, you know, somebody mentioned to me the other day that Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat wrestled 1,000 to 1,500 matches in a 10-year period. It would take Thunder Rosa 10 years to wrestle 100 matches in AEW. 10 years to wrestle 100. And you're going to say to me, oh, no, well, look, she's getting pushed. How the fuck is she getting pushed? She cuts a promo. She has a confrontation. She has a match here, a match on the pay-per-view. I'm sure the match on the pay-per-view is going to be spectacular. But, oh, here's the quote. Here's the quote. This is Tony Khan from August of 2019. And I want you to think about this quote after what I just said about Thunder Rosa and after what you got Wednesday on Dynamite that caused Jeff Hardy versus Adam Cole to go for like 6 minutes when it should have gone much longer. In August of 2019, Tony Khan said, and I quote, "It's not about forcing everybody into the show to do one dumb segment just to show them in the show. We're not going to drag people in and make them travel." 3 years ago, this guy said, "We're not going to put people on the show just to load up the show." And how many times we've talked about it, he tries to shove 3 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag. And as a result, when was the last time you saw Nyla Rose? When was the last time you saw somebody else? We were talking the other day, I think yesterday in a watch party, about Penelope Ford. When was the last time you saw her really featured? Anna Jay comes out of nowhere. She comes out of nowhere, makes a save yesterday. Oh, pay-per-view match. Oh, Anna Jay's getting TV time. Are you serious? I mean, honestly, you know, Sheeta, obviously it's travel issues. But you look at this women's roster up and down. Because somebody gets featured in a promo? Hey, her name is still around. We confronted the Toni Storm, Ruby Soho stuff. You think after this Owen Hart tournament is done, you think Ruby Soho is going to be on TV on a regular basis? Be lucky if she has one win every 4 to 6 weeks on television. That's revolution. That's a push. That's exposure. But every fucking week, you see who's on TV every week. You tell me where that happens with the women. Why doesn't that happen? If they're so good and ratings draws and merchandise sellers and needle movers, why aren't they on TV every week like others? All right. Okay. Oh, and one last thing. You know why I think the women's wrestling may actually increase on AEW network TV? I always say network TV because we don't count YouTube. Because of this person. Remember this name, everyone. Kathleen Finch. Remember that name. She is coming from Discovery. She is the new name that you got to be concerned about when it comes to AEW on WarnerMedia Discovery. That is the woman that's coming over. She has no resume that I could find that has to do with sports. I ask you, have we had as much blood in the last 2 weeks or so? Have we had as much, in the like over the top? You know, you trust me. The days of them using the term whorehousing, like Dan Lambert, trust me, Dan Lambert's character, I expect it to be tremendously watered down in the near future once her influence comes in. See, this is something that a lot of people do not realize. This is not defending WWE. Nothing I said today, we're doing this an hour already, nothing I said today defends WWE. But there's a little point that you need to understand if you don't know it already. The USA Network and Fox do influence some of what you see on WWE television. They do have some creative input. The most glaring one that we have talked about in the past is Retribution. The night Retribution showed up on Fox on SmackDown, that show got a TV 14 rating. Do you remember that night? Every person alive online said, oh, that's because Braun Strowman almost chokeslammed Alexa Bliss. I came up and said, no, no, no. They think that's Antifa doing the shit, cutting the ropes, causing the incident. Fox told WWE, we don't want Antifa, perceived Antifa shit on our TV network. WWE put Retribution on Fox that night, got a TV 14 rating. Retribution was never seen on SmackDown ever again. Believe me when I tell you, these TV networks have creative influence on what you see. That is why some of the stuff you see on WWE TV might be ridiculously stupid. It might be more the fault of the networks pushing a certain narrative. You might see some matches influenced because of the networks. And that woman, Kathleen Finch, it's going to be interesting to see how deep she gets involved as far as AEW on the WarnerMedia, TNT, and TBS. Because if they start saying, look, you know, we don't want this over the top, like, you know, this Utah guy looks like a bad samurai movie from the 70s that, you know, his blood shot further than a porn star, you know, with their penis. You know, we don't want that shit on the net. They start voicing that stuff like that, and you start seeing blood almost non-existent, or you see certain, you know, characters tweaked and changed, don't be surprised. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but all points direction seem to lead that way. And believe me, them AEW not showing up in New York City on Wednesday is a horrible mistake that is going to kick them in the ass. Even though they didn't have a big presence at WarnerMedia and Discovery, you know, pitching the networks to the advertisers, you know, you still make the presence. You still make the appearance. You go over the top. Wow. You know, who are these guys? Wow. They really care. Wow. They showed up. And what's the excuse people put online? Well, they had Dynamite. They had Dynamite to tape. What's more important? What's more important? Having a couple of extra people in these dumb segments just to get people on TV, or do you send some of them to New York City? Hey, we really weren't going to showcase you. Yeah, I know, but, you know, we wanted to introduce ourselves. You know, we're honored to be a part of the network. We look forward to working with each other. Wow, these are very nice people. Wow, these are real. You make an impression. You know, oh, we weren't invited. We were really invited, so fuck you. We're not even going to pay it. Big mistake. Big mistake. Okay, let us move on. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And, you know, I was checking out a couple of surveys. I saw it on their website, and I'm like, I got to check this out. And I was like, oh, this is pretty legit. Do you know that 96% of partners think that bad grooming is a major turnoff? So especially for the guys out there, you know, you're with your significant other, whether you have your M&Ms with peanuts or without, you look down there and it looks like a grassland. You could grow corn down there. I don't think it looks all that good. So Manscaped, I got this as a gift. And like I said, I would never push anything on this show unless I not only like the product, I have to use it as well. And Manscaped has a deal going on right now. Two different deals, because Manscaped is not just, you know, down there, but it's also up here. It's everything about a man. That's why I call it Manscaped. They have a package out called the Ultra Smooth Package. And I actually have it. I have the razor right here, and it's pretty cool because it's rechargeable. You just sit it on the charger and it charges right up. Basically what it is you groom down there. You don't have to go bald eagle. You don't have to be like an infant. I mean, I don't like that, but you know, you try to trim the hedges and you try. Hey, look, I know Jim Cornette has pushed this. He's the one that got me to look into Manscaped from checking out his show. But they have a deal right now. That's actually a different deal. This is one deal right now. It comes in this box. It's called the Ultra Smooth Package. And, you know, some guys out there, if you're dating a woman, you live together, you might sneak and use the pink razor and, you know, clean yourself down there. You don't need to use women's razors anymore. They're not meant for us. You get ingrown hairs, you get cuts, and that sucks, especially if you try to get a little intimate and you got a little cut, and, you know, it opens up and yeah, that's not good. So the Ultra Smooth Package, you get the Crop Shaver Razor, you get the Crop Exfoliator, and you get the Crop Gel. The exfoliator, it gets your skin nice and smooth. Yeah, and some people are like, oh, this is a little uncomfortable. Well, you're probably one of those that probably have tons of weeds down there. You look at my neck and do a Google map search of Howard Beach, where I live, and go check out 164th Avenue and look at that. And I guarantee you some people tuning in right now, that's what it looks like down there. It's like bushes 6 feet high in the air. Could probably hide some dead people out there. You get the Crop Exfoliator. It's got ingredients that soothe and clear and keep your skin nice and soft. So when you trim it, you know, the skin is like, you know, the hairs are perked up and waiting to be trimmed. You got the Crop Gel that gets you all prepared. It's just like the face, you know, but it's meant for down there. It doesn't burn. It's nice and cool. I've used it. And then the big boy, you get the Crop Shaver and you turn it on and you go down there and you have a comb, and the rest is history. So that is the Performance Package 4.0. You get the lawnmower, you get the weed whacker, you get the Crop Reserver, the Crop Reviver, you get Magic Mats, you also get cool shirt, you get a bag with it, a travel kit, and if you go to Manscaped right now, anything that you order, if you enter the promo code DONTONY, you get 20% off your order. And see this package? Yeah, it comes with the newspaper too. They save our balls. When they said, hey, you want to plug this? I'm like, sure. And I'm like, hey, your balls will thank you. I'm like, I'm going to talk about balls on a show? But it's true. It's true. I tried it and I used it. I mean, me, I just, you know, I tried, like, you know, you remember when we showed Get the F Out a couple of weeks ago? Remember that old lady that was trimming the hedges when WWFE turned into WWE? They got the F out and they just trimmed the hedges nice and neat. That's what yours truly does. You could go bald eagle if you want, but this, you know, this is the right way to do it. You use the gel, the exfoliator, it gets you prepared. You trim, no rash, no ingrown hairs after. And believe me, I tell you, a significant other will probably thank you. But Father's Day is coming up. And I'm not going to lie. I thought about getting one for my father. And I'm like, I don't know if that's appropriate. Hey, Dad, here's a kit. Shave your balls. But then I'm like looking at it. I'm like, you know what? I think he probably would appreciate that. So I actually picked him up the kit that you see on the screen. It comes with a nose trimmer. It comes with, you know, trimmer for your, like, sideburns and everything. It's not just for down there. Down where? Down there. But it's up here as well. That kit right now, if you bought it separately on that website, you'd pay $217. Right now on that website, it's $124. And if you put in the promo code DONTONY, you pay $99 and you get free shipping. That is what I got my father for Father's Day. And I'll be more than happy the next week to show you the receipt. So check it out. Get something for yourself. And, you know, if you have someone out there, especially for Father's Day, you think they could use it. I think, look, you get, if you want to be like general about it, you get the regular package. So they're like, hey, you got a problem with my balls? You're like, no, it's just a kit. You know, overall, you use what you want. So pretty cool. The nose trimmer is outstanding. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When I first opened up the show, I was actually going to simulate that I was shaving. And I'm like, nah, I think that's a little bit weird. But no, manscaped.com, great website, great gifts. And look, free shipping, you can't go wrong. And 20% off, you use the promo code DONTONY. And if any of you do shop there, let me know what you think about the items. So like I said, you will never, ever see me plug anything on any of these shows unless I use it and I recommend it. And guys and gals, I was blown away when I got that. So, all right. Max Dupree. I'm going to go take a Max Poopy. Oh, they did it, everybody. That feared name change that we worried about, it happened. Yesterday on SmackDown, we had LA Knight come out introducing himself to Adam Pearce, most of the beard, the five. Now it's just the 5 o'clock shadow. He looks like somebody that would have been, he looks like someone that would have been on like Law and Order from the 90s. You know, he looks like a USA Network wrestler from, actor from the 90s. He looks like somebody you'd see on like Quantum Leap. Max Dupree. That is his new name. You know, let's be honest, everyone. LA Knight, when they first introduced him as LA Knight, a lot of people didn't like that name either. LA Knight. The hell is that? LA Knight. You know? But we got used to it. All right? They're calling him Max Dupree. As long as he gets utilized the right way on TV, he gets to wrestle, he manages a little bit, he gets utilized good, and he gets elevated, then call him whatever you want, man. This goes back to the Viking Raiders, when everybody was like, the Viking Raiders? That sounds like two football teams. You know, what? Why couldn't they call him the Viking Experience? What did I say? I don't care what they call him. Just push them. Utilize them the right way. And we know what has ultimately happened with the Viking Raiders. Look, I don't like the name. Max Dupree sounds so 80s to me. You know, and I'm not saying it because Max Headroom. You know, I used to love that show, Max Headroom. But this is not Max Headroom. This is not the 80s. You know, that's LA Knight, and they're calling him Max Dupree. It sounds like a shyster that represents like a porn company. Hey, we're looking for models. You know, just some, you know, movies, home movies. Yeah, here's my card. I'm Max Dupree. It sounds like a shyster producer. So maybe the name does go with the character. Maybe it does. If you really think about it, if he's going to be a snake, you know what's going to happen, everyone? I just figured it out. He's going to have these models representing, what is it, maximum male entertainment or something, maximum male talents or whatever. You know what's going to end up happening? They're going to do a storyline down the line that all of his clients are going to realize. Mason, all of them, hey, not doing a Mason impersonation. He's been taking our money. Max has been taken off the top. Max, you're a crook. You've been taking advantage of all of us. We're no longer... Max might even be kind of like a spoof in some way of Vince McMahon. He might end up being a greedy, taking advantage of it. I'm telling you, this is no Soprano stuff. I wish, Josh. No, this ain't Sopranos. This is a snake oil salesman. So, look, I'm just giving you my overall thoughts. I think that's what's going to end up happening. He is going to rip off his clients. I made you, and then they'll turn babyface. Obviously, I'm talking a long ways away. Max Dupree. And Dupree sounds like an old car. I don't know. I'm not liking the name, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. By the way, I saw we got a couple of questions come in. We'll do questions in a few moments. We have not too much else to talk about today. I mean, we'll get into TV results from yesterday, a couple of previews as well. Since we're on the topic of WWE and SmackDown. Look, they were teasing it. I felt this match was not as important as it should have been. I truthfully thought we were going to get a no contest. I truthfully thought we were going to get interference from Drew McIntyre, Roman Reigns, which obviously he got involved. At minimum, maybe it leads to the winner take all at Hell in a Cell. But I know Rams fan is live right now, and maybe a few others that were at the watch party yesterday. What is the first thing that I said at the beginning of SmackDown yesterday? Randy Orton shaved his mustache. He said, oh, fuck. That guy, whenever he changes his look, there's usually a big storyline shift. I don't know if you've ever noticed that with Randy, but I said yesterday, ah, crap, he shaved his mustache. They're going to lose the belts. We felt that yesterday. Yeah, Rams fan is saying. I mean, the people could check out the replay if you go to the channel. We just felt it yesterday. Now, there was a little controversy, if you're not aware of it. Somebody definitely has some splaining to do. Check out this. I know that there is a time difference in the United Kingdom. And I know in the United States, SmackDown airs from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you figure out times, United Kingdom, around 10 o'clock their time, posted this post. Who could stop them? And for those in audio only, it's a picture of the Usos with both sets of tag titles. Some moron handling WWE United Kingdom social media account took 10 p.m. UK time and forgot that that's not 10 p.m. U.S. time and posted a picture of the Usos with both belts. See, the reason why this was not a major story yesterday is because nobody bothered to look at the time zone changes and say, wait a minute, what moron, I probably would have used the P word if this was 10 years ago, but what moron from the UK, you know, took 10 p.m. UK time and assumed it was United States time, East Coast time, and announced in advance, premature ejaculation, the Usos with both belts. So we saw that yesterday, and look, I wrote it off like, you know, and you know what? They made the mistake. When they realized they did that, they should have put one up with RK-Bro with two sets of titles also. The problem is, I guess whoever leaked it doesn't have Photoshop capabilities and could not figure out how do we Photoshop the other titles? Come on, we got to do it now. We got to do it. Yeah, hurry up. Forget it. I know, psycho. You had one job. You had one job. You screwed it up. Idiots. You screw up stuff like that. Seriously. That's like epic failures. But it happened yesterday. The Usos now have the gold, all the gold. As Roman Reigns said right after WrestleMania, the bloodline wants all the gold. Now they have it. Paul Heyman on commentary yesterday was priceless. His facial reactions as the match went on. Unfortunately, guys and gals, unless RK-Bro, you know, takes part in the women's tag team tournament, which obviously they're not, I have a feeling this is the end of RK-Bro. Riddle got pinned. I know Randy Orton was incapacitated as well, but this is something that we've talked about for quite some time now. WWE, the perception that a lot of fans had is that Riddle was the weak link in that team because they have had Riddle get pinned way too many times in the last 9 months. You know, this didn't just happen in the last couple of weeks. Riddle's been losing, not every time. He's had some big wins as well, but Riddle has lost a lot. And he got pinned yesterday. And after the match, they got destroyed. Let me tell you something. I really believed we were going to get a no contest and at minimum, we would have gotten a match at Hell in a Cell. I think that would have been a worthy match at Hell in a Cell. Shit, I would have put him inside Hell in a Cell. You would think, after all of this time and for owning all the belts, if there was ever a match, I mean, what that would have been interesting if they would have hung the belts at the top of the cell. I mean, that would have been kind of, not on top, I mean, at the top, inside the cell. Maybe that's a little too high, but they gave it to the Usos yesterday. Let me tell you something. After watching the ending of SmackDown yesterday, now, I know you all know now that WWE does sometimes use old footage to fill in, to magnify, you know, an agenda, crowd reaction. You know, Corbin and Moss has been getting awful reactions, so they put in, spliced in footage from 10 years ago. They got exposed, but they've been doing that a long time. I brought this up before. I'll never forget when the Mets, it was either 1980 or 1981. I have the DVD. One day I will burn it, put it online. A little quick story you all might be interested in, even if you weren't a baseball fan at the time. In 1979, I think it was August 11th, I might have the date wrong, Thurman Munson, who was the catcher of the New York Yankees, died in a plane crash. He flew his plane too big for his handling, lost control, crashed, died. The Yankees, I think, played, I don't know, it was the Baltimore Orioles. I don't remember who they played, but a few days later, they played. And they had a moment of silence, and they had a pastor there and did a little memorial service before the baseball game. And everybody was bawling their eyes out. I remember even ABC, you know, allowed, or the, George Steinbrenner allowed ABC to simulcast the game, even though the local Channel 11, WPIX, had the game as well. Anyway, long story short, during the memorial service that was televised, there was a girl in the crowd that was heavily sobbing. You know, she might have been maybe 20 years old, at the most 18 years old. And if I'm sure if you go on YouTube and you just type in Yankee Stadium Thurman Munson Memorial, you'll see the girl. She had like dirty blonde hair or whatever, and she's sobbing, got a tank top on. Anyway, long story short, the Mets in 80 or 81, they were horrible. And they did a team video, and they were highlighting the season, and they were talking about how bad their play was. And the Mets took and spliced the video of that girl sobbing and made it come off as a girl crying in Shea Stadium because of the Mets' futility. And I saw that. I was like, wow, that is the most tasteless splice I have ever seen. You're taking a girl crying at a funeral service and putting it as your own. This is done in sports. They will take old stock footage of crowd reactions, usually in the same building, or, you know, if it's very close up and you can't tell, and they will splice it in at times. WWE obviously got exposed with Moss and Corbin. But yesterday, they didn't need to splice in anything. They made sure they found kids in the crowd crying, confused. You didn't have that over-the-top, like people were that were trying, you know, because you see that reaction sometimes. There are fans in attendance that are over-exaggerating their reactions, hopefully to get on TV. Like, I don't know, Omos attacks Bobby Lashley. And then the camera's on him, like, that's what people do. Or it'll be, or something bad will happen, it'll be like, or overreact. No, they didn't have to do that yesterday. The kids were legitimately crying. As much as Riddle has been losing, he is big time baby face. And you know he's going to be an even bigger baby face if Randy Orton ultimately RKOs him for losing that match. And you know, Randy, who would have ever thought Riddle would be the guy that the children would really beloved? But that's pretty much how it goes. Now, don't get me wrong. The kids yesterday were also crying because Randy Orton got his ass kicked too. But Randy Orton is not as sympathetic as Riddle. Riddle comes off as innocent. naive. You know, that's the personality. It's no longer stoned. He's just his best friend. He, you know, just happy, loves everything, goes out on the scooter. You know, when he flips his shoes off, you see unicorn colors. And it's all that is done by design. And, you know, say what you want. They, SmackDown, Fox has had the luxury of getting Riddle and Orton on numerous episodes lately. As the trade-off, you've had the Usos and on occasion Roman Reigns make appearances on the USA Network, on Raw. USA Network and Fox do not work together. Hey, how's it about you bring this person here? No, that's they want that, but they don't work together. You know, hey, let's get this. So they, no. So the Usos, this is heavy responsibility on them. So now they are the unified tag titles. And for everyone that's trying to get my attention saying that, oh, Jimmy should support Naomi and he should put the title down. You know, look, you're talking about people's livelihoods. You know, no one should tell anybody how to handle their livelihood. Sure, you want people to stand up at injustice or bosses taking advantage of an employee, you know, but let's also be honest here. You know, Sasha Banks, especially Sasha Banks, is getting paid a lot of money in WWE. So, you know, yeah, they pulled the merch. You know, that's WWE's big fuck you. Like, look, we bent over back. I'm not sticking up for them. This is their point of view. We bent over backwards. We gave you this. We gave you this. We gave you this. Those cryptic videos of Sasha with Vince with the tormenting of the money. Oh, I complain? Toss me more money. I'm happy. Now, WWE's like, fuck that. You know, I had to clear this up yesterday. And, you know, cool for Sean and everybody else who, you know, accepted what I said, but you realize yesterday on social media, once again, people don't want to know the truth. I saw at least 25 people, and half of them are people that do shows, when about pulling the merch for Sasha and Naomi. Because for those that don't know, and we talked about it Monday, we said, will they strip them? Probably. Will they suspend them? Most likely. Will they fire them? It's possible. It is possible, everyone. It is possible. If you realize that WWE does not value women's wrestling the same as they do the men's, you think of Ronda Rousey and Charlotte and Becky Lynch and Sasha and Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, and you go down the line, and there's people I've left out, they're not going to lose any attendance if Sasha is no longer there. They're not going to lose revenue. You'll have people online, I will never watch a WWE show again. Meanwhile, you hear SmackDown in the background. You know, oh, I'll cancel. See, that's the thing, no longer having a WWE network when you're in the United States. Right now, you would have 150,000 people on Twitter all copying each other's screenshots. Just canceled my network. I'm sick and tired of Vince McMahon and WWE and John Laurinaitis treating the women this way. You know, don't tell people how they should handle their business, you know. I thought it was so awful, people saying, you know, the fuck is Miro going here or going here? You know, these people got to make their money. Oh, how could Zelina Vega go back to WWE? They know who they're getting in bed with. These wrestlers know who they're getting in bed with. Naomi and Sasha Banks got fed up of being fed lies, and they walked out. Plain and simple. Now, as far as the merchandise being pulled, yeah, that is a dick move on WWE's part. Okay, we have plenty of money. We can lose profits. You're going to lose royalties as well. We're not going to let you sit back. And what I corrected yesterday is there was about 25 that I saw. I don't follow everybody. I probably would have been hundreds. I saw at least 25 people and half of them do shows all saying, oh, yeah, WWE did that with Steve Austin. They pulled their merchandise. They fucked Steve Austin too. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. In fact, tomorrow in a sit-down, I will share my screen with everyone, and I will show you WWE's shop from 2002 when Steve Austin walked out. The what shirt was the number one selling shirt for WWE. And when Steve Austin walked out, when he didn't want to fight Brock Lesnar on free TV, his shirt sold even more. They came out with a sweatshirt, and it went to like in the top 10. WWE ultimately put some of Steve Austin's merchandise on sale, but they never pulled his merchandise. I went and I checked my old news coverage at the time, and we said, wow, Steve Austin is making even more money with the royalties than before. So, you know, I know it sounds cool and it sounds right, like, wow, you know, they dicked Naomi and Sasha. Oh, they did that to Steve Austin too. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. If anybody would have spent 5 minutes doing a little research, they would have had that answer. So for any of you out there that read places or watch people or heard people make that claim, that is untrue. But of course, the truth is boring. It's better to clickbait and it's better to be dirty and say, wow, WWE did that to Steve Austin too? Wow, they are petty. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. It's not true. And that's not sticking up for them either. So anyway, match results from yesterday with SmackDown. We had Shinsuke Nakamura beating Sami Zayn. We had a happy Corbin segment, happy talk segment with Corbin. I got to be honest, I don't like Corbin. This has been awful. The stuff with Moss has been pathetic. I thought Corbin probably cut one of his best promos yesterday. Problem is, we just didn't care. He ended up breaking the Andre statue. Technically, they loosened the bolts, everybody. And WWE can fix it. So it's not a big deal. Gunther beating Drew Gulak. After the match is over, Gunther continues the attack on Drew Gulak. Wow, I just rhymed. I'm a poet, in case you didn't know it. He continued the attack on Drew Gulak, and Ricochet came out and made the save. Ricochet and Gunther having a stare down. You know it's coming, everyone. I think Gunther is going to be your next champion. I think he's going to be your next champion. We had Raquel Rodriguez. Estás muerta. You are dead. She killed Shotzi Blackheart in the ring. Shotzi Blackheart, pretty good on the mic as well yesterday. Shotzi's hasn't been that great cutting heel promos. Yesterday, she nailed it. What I thought was funny during that match, if you go back and watch it, the people who were in the back watching it, you know, Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi are in the ring. And they show a shot in the back. I think it was Natty, Aaliyah, Los Lotharios. Who else was back there? Shayna Baszler was back. They're all watching the match, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, these people care. You know, like, what it's supposed to be is they were supposed to be, like, admiring and impressed with Raquel Rodriguez's performance. Like, hey, everybody's taking notice. Look at Raquel. Still too much with the smiling. But as you start seeing, as she gets angry, the smile goes away. When the smile goes away, you better worry. That's pretty much where they're going with that. Xavier Woods over Butch. Xavier cuts a promo earlier. Hey, Butch, why don't you leave Sheamus and Ridge in the back? Xavier beats Butch. Butch runs into the crowd. And as he runs away, Ridge Holland and Sheamus attack Xavier again. No Kofi, but Xavier teases that next week they're going to have a mystery partner. It's not Big E, everyone. We hope to hear some good news about Big E in the next week. So keep your fingers crossed. I heard Big E supposed to go back to the doctor either this coming week or next week. So hopefully we hear some good news. But a lot of people think that the mystery partner will be Drew McIntyre. Some people are holding out hope that WWE maybe worked out a deal with Claudio Cesaro. I don't know. For him to go this far and trademark the name and start pushing merch and start doing this, just have WWE bring him back, anything is possible. And we get the Usos beating RK-Bro to unify the tag titles. Michael Cole, this was interesting. Michael Cole, who obviously is, you know, even when he talks, he is 100% pro WWE. He was the one that issued the statement yesterday about Sasha Banks and Naomi being suspended indefinitely, stripped of the women's tag team titles, and a tournament will be upcoming to determine the new champions. You look at Pat McAfee the whole time. Pat McAfee did not say a word. He did not acknowledge anything. He did not nod his head yes or no. He didn't have any like reaction like, no. You look at it, and all Pat, as Michael Cole, if Michael Cole's sitting next to me here, all Pat McAfee kept doing was, you go back, poker face. He didn't reveal his card, how he felt about it. Absolute poker face. If you didn't notice it yesterday, go back and check it out. So, all right, this Monday, what has been announced for Raw? Cody Rhodes versus The Miz. Need I say more? And Bobby Lashley is going to issue an almighty challenge to Omos and MVP. Are we going to get the handicap match? Are we going to get a match with a stipulation that if Lashley wins, he gets 5 minutes with MVP? I think that's where they may be going with this. Remember, you know, right now there's only two matches announced for Hell in a Cell. And you got Bianca Belair versus Asuka, and you have Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. Hey, look at that. 50-50, women and men. Right now, Hell in a Cell has four wrestlers advertised. Two men, two women. WWE, progress. All right. They've only announced two matches. So I wonder if we're going to get that with Lashley. So Impact Wrestling, as I said earlier, the Briscoes, despite being advertised in the main event against Violent by Design, the rating went down from 125 to 119. Not a big drop, but still, the fact you can't get big-time hardcore Ring of Honor AEW Briscoe fans, that what are they all doing on Thursday at that time? Don't tell me basketball, because AEW still scores decent numbers during basketball. They can't get anybody. They literally could have Jesus Christ versus the devil. They could have them wrestle on the card, and I don't think people, atheists and Catholics, I don't think would want to tune in. Kick the devil's ass. No, you can. I mean, what does Impact have to put on TV? You know, Forbidden. Oh, that's another thing. Forbidden Door on WWE's part. You had the Mickey James appearance. You realize now, just to fill a spot in the women's side, get a little name value, we get a nice payday. In the end, it didn't do anything for Impact Wrestling whatsoever. All right. On the AEW side from yesterday, we had the House of Black beat Evil Uno 10 and Fuego del Sol. Shawn Spears over Big Damo, who was Killian Dane. And look, we like Killian Dane, most of us. He looked awful. He looked like a generic member of the Dark Order. He looked like a stunt double of the Dark Order. Of course, he wasn't going to do much against Shawn Spears, but he just didn't look like, oh my God, you got to sign him. I mean, even his look, he looks like a guy that was just like hanging out at the tiki bar on the beach, eating like loads of chicken and beer. Hey, put on a pair of boots and join us in the ring for 5 minutes. Was not feeling him at all. Chris Statlander over Red Velvet to advance in the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. Main event, Brian Danielson and Jon Moxley beating Dante Martin and Matt Sydal. You know, the segment where Brian Danielson got his foot stuck, and it appears that it may have, in fact, have been a work. They did not show that on network television. You know, Tony Khan made everybody run to YouTube to see it, but it was not on network television. Other segments on Rampage yesterday, Tony Schiavone interviewed FTR in the back. They agreed to defend the Ring of Honor tag titles Wednesday against Roppongi Vice. Tony Schiavone with Britt Baker and Tony Storm backstage talking about their upcoming semifinal match in the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament. After Jade Cargill was chased out of the ring by Anna Jay after Jade and Kira Hogan and Red Velvet were beating down Statlander and Little Ruby Soho, who was sitting at ringside during Statlander and Red Velvet's match. Anna Jay is now your opponent against Jade Cargill at Double or Nothing. We had a training video. You realize how many backstage segments AEW does? Talk about filling time. We had a backstage segment of Tony Nese and Mark Sterling training, a little spoof of Danhausen training, which he was pretty much just eating potato chips and doing nothing, and Hook doing his workout. We had a backstage segment with the Undisputed Elite, Adam Cole, talking about how he and Kyle O'Reilly could end up facing each other in the Owen Hart Memorial Tournament Finals. Kyle O'Reilly likes that idea as well. We had a backstage segment of the Young Bucks challenging the Hardys at Double or Nothing. We had an in-ring segment, Scorpio Sky, Dan Lambert, Ethan Page. They want their TNT title back. Guevara took it hostage, and then we have a backstage parking lot segment where Sammy Guevara starts destroying the TNT title. Then Frankie Kazarian is destroying it. And while he's destroying it with a sledgehammer, you got Guevara and Ty Conti playing tonsil hockey in the back. So another bullshit. And then we had the Gun Club. Billy Gunn continuing to diss his own sons and instead showing all the attention to the acclaimed Max Caster and the current injured Anthony Bowens. So you realize how many segments. You look at it like that. I mean, that's like seven segments in a one-hour show. One-hour show. I mean, that might be impressive, but imagine doing that on Dynamite, double the time. And think about what Tony Khan's quote, what I said earlier. So right now, for Double or Nothing, your lineup is this. The pre-show will be Hook and Danhausen versus Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. For the TBS title, Jade Cargill defends against Anna Jay. You have Kyle O'Reilly Kyle O'Reilly or Samoa Joe, the winner of that match. Whoever wins will take on Adam Cole in the Owen Hart Men's Tournament Final. It's either going to be Tony Storm or Britt Baker taking on the winner of Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander for the women's side of the tournament. Thunder Rosa defending the AEW Women's Championship against Serena Deeb. You got Jurassic Express defending the AEW tag titles against Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, along with Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland in a three-way. You have not blood and guts, but anarchy in the arena. I don't know if it's going to be cinematic, pre-recorded. I don't think so. I think it'll just be a crazy street fight. You could have the Jericho Appreciation Society versus Bryan Danielson, Jon Moxley, Santana Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston. We got a six-man tag match, the House of Black taking on Penta, Rey Fénix, and Pac. This was cool yesterday. Even though it was just styrofoam, it was cool. After the House of Black won their match, Pac, Fénix, and Penta came out on the rampway, and they had something covered, and Penta lifted it. They took a giant piece of styrofoam, cut it in the shape of a tombstone, spray painted it gray, and put a plaque of the House of Black on it to make it look like that's their tombstone. So they are going to be battling it out at Double or Nothing. We have the Hardys versus the Young Bucks and Hangman Page defending the AEW World Championship against CM Punk. That is your Double or Nothing card so far. 10 matches. Pretty solid. But as we said earlier, 40 people, 6 women, 34 men. All right. So we are exactly 90 minutes. Oh, and by the way, I was going to show these to you earlier, but, you know, this is the list of people who signed with AEW in 2021. This list is not complete, but that is 2022. I think you got to add Swerve Strickland, Tony Storm, and I think Keith Lee may not. Well, no, Keith Lee is on there. So there would someone else that's not on there. But again, when you actually look at these, you even see, you know, the number of men that are signed compared to the women's side. I mean, it is really, really, you know, one-sided when you think about it. All right. Before we do questions in the chat, let me give 4 shout-outs from Supers. Lissell says, Brother Don, I am onto something about that smoke and mirrors with women's wrestling, especially AEW. WWE seriously pushes about 4 women at a time. AEW gives just 1 top match a month with women. I don't know about just one match a month, a top match. I mean, they feature more. But as far as real good quality matches, yeah, you might be on to something. I think Deeb, Thunder Rosa, and I think Ruby Soho, which I believe is going to the finals. Although, you know, it would be interesting if they had Chris Statlander go to the finals. Statlander yesterday, really, really. I mean, I got to go out of my way to say this. She has really improved over the last 18 months. She did a one-arm press slam yesterday with Red Velvet. If you look close, Red Velvet had her hand pushing on Statlander's shoulder for leverage. Because if you just look at science, you know, I mean, it's not like Statlander lifted or held Red Velvet in the air from the middle of her body. Like, if this is Red Velvet's body, it's not like Statlander held her from the middle. Statlander held her from here. Now, if you just look at simple science, gravity, she should just topple over. But you had Red Velvet pushing down on Statlander's shoulder. So if I let this go, I did let it go. So basically, this is a bad example, but this is Statlander. This is Red Velvet, White Velvet. This is Statlander all the way on this side. And so she doesn't tip over. There you go. That's what Red Velvet did. Still impressive, though. Very impressive. Statlander really has improved. She had a good match yesterday. But thank you for that, Lissell. Rams fan said early, did I hear about Roman's next three opponents? Like I said, you know, it's gonna be some filler with Roman Reigns, and you know, Shinsuke, and that was so awkward yesterday. We were talking about that last night. You know that. Shinsuke comes out for his match against Sami Zayn. The Bloodline cross paths with him as he comes out. And Shinsuke is like, acts like he totally forgot that he got his ass handed to him from the Bloodline. It looked kind of stupid yesterday. Shinsuke, I don't know. I thought that was pretty dope. Why didn't they just go to a commercial and just have him come out with the Bloodline already in the back? But I think you could have Shinsuke, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes. But remember, you know, after Hell in a Cell, it's not SummerSlam. It's Money in the Bank. And Money in the Bank, they're looking to push 60,000 to 70,000 tickets. Money in the Bank would be a pretty big event. So Roman Reigns, I expect his opponent Money in the Bank to be someone more on the line of Shinsuke, which falls in line of last year. I forget who he faced last year at Money in the Bank, but it was not like a big, wasn't it Sami Zayn? No, not Sami Zayn. It was Cesaro. I think last year, I think Roman Reigns took on Cesaro at Money in the Bank. And you remember that night? It felt like WWE was like, okay, internet wrestling community, IWC, you all been bitching. Cesaro never gets a main event. He didn't even get to walk to the back and he got jumped. You remember that last year? So that's the caliber of opponent I expect Roman Reigns. I'm not saying Cesaro is not worthy of more. I'm just saying as far as WWE's perception on the food chain, it feels like it's going to be Nakamura or somebody on that level. So Rojo Bear, hope you're having a good weekend, my friend. Thank you for the five spot. Much appreciated as always. Thank you, brother. SRH John, the kids were crying for sure because WWE keeps showing the count. Yes, that was good. That's old school. You look at vintage Undertaker 1991 when he first got on TV, when he was still managed by Brother Love. They made sure to put the camera on that crowd and you had all these kids scared shit. And it looked like WWE was enjoying it. My favorite moment, I know this is going to be cruel, but my favorite moment is when, I think it was Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth reunited and there was women crying in the crowd and you had that infamous woman with all the freckles on her face and Bobby Heenan just started laughing hysterically at the women in the crowd. Not only were they ugly, but they were all bawling, crying, and he was laughing his ass off. I couldn't stop laughing. But you get fans like that, especially kids, That's old school. And WWE did it right yesterday. Yeah, I know we're all mad about the Sasha and Naomi stuff, and it goes much deeper. Look, it goes much deeper. You know, and yes, I know Toni Storm told the story that WWE wanted a top ripped off when she had the segment with Charlotte. I'm not trying to be a dick, but, you know, I don't feel that sympathetic about it when she's got an OnlyFans, you know? I mean, it's not like they wanted her to be nude, but who knows what she would have had underneath. She could have had a sports bra underneath. I mean, it's not like, oh, she's going to reveal something. But yeah, the kids crying in the camera shots yesterday, that was very old school. And say what you want about a lot of WWE creative that sucks. That last night, good visual, good visual. Interesting way to go off on SmackDown. I wish they would have hyped it up more. I would have added an extra week to it. I would have added an extra week hyping this up. And I think they should have really emphasized it more. So many people, including me, thought it was going to be a no contest. So, but thank you for that. James Campbell, Breeze, just came back to WWE's YouTube channel. Any chance he could be the mystery partner? Or do I know if he's just exclusive to YouTube? Look, Tyler Breeze is very beloved in WWE. Unfortunately, Breezango and anybody that goes back to the Wednesday Night Dynamite shows, you know, we talked about as much as we love Breezango, it was done. The NXT stuff, it just didn't matter anymore. They gave him the tag titles towards the end, and it really didn't feel like it mattered all that much. It was time, and they let him go. They wanted him to come back as a trainer. Now he's doing a little bit of YouTube stuff. Tyler Breeze is very much respected and beloved, more than people would realize. That guy, you'd be very surprised. So I like that he's back. Do I think he's the mystery person? No. No. I know why you're saying that, you know, the history of his relationship with Xavier Woods. But no, I think for mainstream wrestling, it's not about little Easter eggs and, you know, knowing the history here. I think it's probably going to be more like a Drew McIntyre next week. I think that's probably how they would bring him back. So, which kind of concerns me, because if they align Drew McIntyre with Xavier and Kofi, you know Drew McIntyre eventually is going to go after Roman. Are we going to have Kofi and Xavier interact with the Usos again? Oh, you know, they make beautiful music together. But, you know, if you go back when you were a kid and you hear the same song on the radio every 30 minutes and you hear it for months and years at a time, you know, you're sick of that song. And I'm kind of sick of seeing the Usos and the New Day together in the ring. So I think it'll be more like Drew. So, all right. We're in an hour and 40 minutes. I will stay here for a few more minutes answering some questions. Don't forget, tomorrow at 8:05 p.m., we have the sit-down with the only Don Tony in wrestling. There's room for two Don Tonys, everyone. Believe me. In the history of the Mafia, there were many Dons, so there could be more than one Don. That's okay. We like Tony D'Angelo. We love, you know, the stereotype and everything, that cocksucker. But tomorrow, the phone lines will be open. It's nothing but Q&A tomorrow. Nothing but live chat, phone calls. So we will obviously get into a lot more with the Q&A tomorrow. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people having some feedback of tonight. But all I ask for now, while we answer some questions, just write in capital letters question before your question so it stands out a little bit more. Because I know a lot of you like the chat as well, and I don't want anybody to take away from that. Cappy Caveman, Tyrus wearing the NWA title on Fox News. Any thoughts? Oh, he's done that many times before. You know, it's sad. It's not sad, but hey, look at, there's a banner right now on Twitter. There's an event coming up, a big event, and Mark Henry is featured right smack in the center. I know some of you have seen it. I forget what the promotion is, but Mark Henry is right smack in the center. You know what the promoter put for Mark Henry? Former WWE champion. No reference to AEW. The Mass Maniac. When I used to do a show with the Mass Maniac, we told this infamous story. The Voodoo Kin Mafia, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, when they were in TNA, they were the Voodoo Kin Mafia. And one time, you had TNA. They were doing a taping, and they were in Universal Studios. And they were trying to get people who were walking around Universal Studios to come in and watch some wrestling, fill the seats up. And there was a guy on a megaphone yelling at the top of his lungs, trying to get just people walking around to come in and say, yo, right now, come see the New Age Outlaws, former WWE. They used all WWE names to get them into the building. And that goes to show you that at the end of the day, it's about the big boys. You know, Tyrus has been on Fox News for years. I had the privilege of meeting him right before COVID. And when he shows up many times on Fox News with the NWA title, they will put former WWE superstar. Now, if I was Tyrus, I probably would be like, you know, put current NWA, you know, champion. But they do, on some occasions, they have put former WWE superstar. No reference to NWA at all. So, look, it's what the network does. They get to push it how they want. So, Juan, we won't know the Rampage rating until Monday. We will not know until Monday. Rams fan, Drew McIntyre was on a little bit of a break. That Castle event that's going to be coming on, Clash at the Castle, I think he may have done a little bit of promotional work for WWE for that. I mean, I haven't checked, but they did send somebody there. I would think it was probably Drew McIntyre. And at the same time, he probably had a little bit of rest, you know, spend some time with family, get a couple of weeks off. So I expect that's what Drew McIntyre has been up to. So, who's the boy on the super chat? I have no idea what you're talking about, Charlie. I have no idea. We don't have any super chats going right now. So, I like Maki Ito. I don't know why people keep saying to me, what's my problem with Maki Ito? No bullshit, everyone. On Thursday's show, I specifically said, I have no problem with Maki Ito in AEW. She's popular. She's a fan favorite. There's been fan favorites that I liked over the years that couldn't wrestle for shit. I have nothing against her. My only problem was, what? Let me say it like this. And I honestly believe, when I say it this way, I don't think there'll be any more argument. Why do you have a tournament? You have a tournament to have the best of the best win. Whether it's the NCAA tournament, whether it's a poker tournament, whether it's a Monopoly tournament, an Uno tournament, you know, whether it's a wrestling tournament, whatever it is, when you try the greatest bands of all time, you do your own tournament brackets. Who's usually in the brackets? The best of the best. They're the ones battling it out. And you tell me why Maki Ito fills one of the brackets in a tournament. You had qualifying matches to determine the best of the best. If you're going to have someone enter that doesn't need to win a qualifying match, you best damn believe that that person should have enough cred that, okay, you know, that person, you know, I put him in the tournament, that person's work speaks for itself. That was my problem with it. You know, this was not a qualifying match. This was a tournament. Once you start the tournament, all right, all the preliminaries, you know, you could have a tournament starts with 96 people and you could have a lot of scrubs and people that suck in it. Once the tournament starts, you're supposed to have the best of the best narrowing it down to a winner. And Maki Ito is one of them. It's nothing to do with popularity. So hopefully that convinces people. What's next for Sonya Deville, Steph? She will have more temper tantrums. I think she will go on a little bit of a losing break. I think she aligns with someone eventually. I'm not concerned about Sonya Deville. Right now, she has lost her power And the storyline is, without the power, she's a mountain of mush. She will overcome. Sonya Deville is much better in the ring than is perceived right now. Right now, she is emotionally distraught in storyline. That's why she lost twice to Alexa Bliss. Got to let it ride a little bit further. Sonya Deville may beg for a job back with Adam Pearce. Remember the storyline yesterday, LA Knight, you know, Max Dupree. He worked out a deal with Sonya Deville. I don't know if you picked up on that yesterday. And Adam Pearce is like, I got to talk to my lawyers. So Sonya Deville is still trying to get a little power. That could be part of the storyline. So give it more time. Do not be concerned about Sonya Deville's future. She has got a spot in WWE for now. She's not on the cutting block. Michael Gonzalez with the very random question. My favorite breakfast meal. I usually don't eat breakfast, but when I do, I don't always eat breakfast, but when I do, I like to have yogurt. Too Good. Can't remember the other brand. Is it Rebel? No. Can't remember. It's keto yogurt. I like eating yogurt. I can't eat bacon and eggs all the time. I'm not a huge fan of eggs. I'm on keto, so I don't eat any starches, but that's my go-to. Love eating yogurt. Lemon yogurt. There's a brand called Too Good that's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right. So we are in hour 48. Charlie, I don't know. You keep bringing up Super Chat graphic guy hitting his chest. Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's Chris Jericho, kid. Oh, my God, Chris Jericho. You know what? I don't, but obviously I'm not going to make anybody Super Chat. I can't Super Chat myself. Oh, okay, now, yeah, when somebody sends a Super Chat, Chris, that's Chris Jericho. Maybe you're on like a microscopic iPhone and maybe it looks like it's a child, but I think Chris Jericho would want to give you a kiss right now. Yeah, that's Chris Jericho. Benjamin is asking, will we see a self-destruction of Sasha Banks and Naomi documentary? No. I know you're joking, but no, I don't see that because WWE, look, WWE knows how popular they are. And WWE, everybody needs to understand something. And again, please, I'm not defending WWE whatsoever. But realize what's going on here. This is a $1 billion company. And this goes back to Jeff Hardy and Mustafa Ali and what I have said before. WWE is not going to allow this narrative that if wrestlers don't get what they want, maybe they don't get always what they're promised, that they could just walk out, you know, have the internet go after WWE, you know, stay out, hold out until they give in. You know, that's dangerous for any employer. You know, you imagine you have a business. Oh, I don't think $15 an hour is enough. I'm going to walk out. Everybody in the deli should walk out also. We demand $20 an hour. All right, I give in. And then someone says, you know what, though? We need two-hour lunch. You know, an hour is not enough anymore. And we're going to stand out. We're not going to. Where does it end? So if you, this is WWE's message to Sasha Banks, Naomi, or anyone else. If you don't like it, then don't sign with us. They're paying a lot of money. They're paying more than what other companies pay. And these wrestlers know who they are signing with. I'm not defending WWE. All I'm saying is, as a $1 billion publicly traded company, imagine how the investors would feel if the company that they are investing millions upon millions upon millions of dollars are caving in because some people feel, you know, hey, I'm a superhero in a movie. I don't kill enough bad guys. You know, I don't get enough accolade at the end. You know, why is it so different? Imagine, you know, you set that narrative that people could keep getting up. It's easy for CM Punk to say, stand your ground. People should support no matter you agree or disagree. Blah, 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 blah. It's easy to say when you made your millions and you're atop of the world and you could you know, shit however you want. And people are going to be like, hey, can I wipe it? You know, it's very easy for people to do that. But, you know, in the case of others, you know, WWE's not going to allow that to start. And it's dangerous because if you allow that in WWE, you'll eventually have to allow it in Impact Wrestling. You'll have to allow it in AEW. You'll have to allow it in MLW. You'll have to allow it in every other company. And then you start bringing up the union idea again. And then you understand how that could, if union was such a great idea, how come nobody backed Zelina Vega when it counted? People aren't stupid, everyone. These people are professionals. You know, these wrestlers are professional entertainers, many with talent agents. We don't get talent agents. I'm unhappy working in the office. Well, have your agent contact me. We don't have agents. These people are making millions. We make change, chump change. You got to understand that. You think about that. It's a publicly traded company. You can't just simply complain and then, you know, oh, I get what I want. Because when you see Sasha posting those cryptic videos, it almost feels tormenting. Like, hey, see, I keep getting what I want. Look at the interview with Steve Austin. That she feels she's on a level now that she doesn't need to do this and need to do this. And you know what? She's probably right. She's probably right. And now WWE's at a crossroads. Do we cater and give in to her? Or we just say, bye-bye. We'll be fine without you. Let Tony Khan get that headache. Let Tony Khan pay that kind of money. And this and that. I think that could very well end up being what happens with Sasha Banks. I think WWE would be like, good, go. No problem. No problem. WWE will continue without you. Go ahead. Try to get the accolades. And by the way, don't walk around and say former WWE Women's Champion. Don't sign anything WWE. Don't do this. Don't, if it gets bitter like that, then you got the back and forth. And that sucks. That sucks. Pulling the merch, you know, was a jerk move. But that should give you an idea of how pissed off WWE is over this. I think Vince McMahon took it personally. Whether it's right or it's wrong, that's up for debate. He took it personal. That's how it feels to me. All right, we're going to wrap this up in 3 minutes. We'll finish right at the two-hour mark, and we will pick this up tomorrow. So I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Excellent, excellent conversation. You know, I know we talked in great detail about this problem with women's wrestling and the perception, the smoke and mirrors, promises, you know, given, promises kept with a question mark. No one else is getting deep into this. And I wanted really to spend one show to bring it up because, like I said, you will not see anyone out there, especially the ones that absolutely beloved AEW, they're not going to get this deep into it. Because if they get this deep, even towards WWE, then you're forced to bring up AEW. And that's why it was nice out this weekend. Something happened with Sasha? Oh, I have no idea. You know, everybody turns a blind eye. They will not get this deep because then you have to confront some of your favorites. That's why, like the other day, I said, if Charlotte Flair would have walked out instead of Sasha Banks, the entire net, almost everybody in the net would have called for Charlotte Flair's head. That she is just disgusting, disrespect. And that's because Sasha Banks is a beloved fan favorite and Charlotte is not. So it is what it is. And it sucks that it had to get to this point. But I also believe that pro wrestling does make a lot of promises on the women's side, and they don't keep those promises. And I'll make a prediction. You're going to see, instead of women being the focal point, for people to try to cover for the promotions that they love that are guilty of this with the women, you will see a lot of those people focus on the D word instead of the W word. And instead of bringing up women equal, they're going to bring up diversity. that is what you're going to see a lot of people focus on, because diversity is much broader. And if you could put, you know, different minorities, different sexual orientations, you put gay and minorities and, you know, women, and you put all, now it looks like, wow, look at the representation. Look at all, we're very diverse. That's what you're going to see. People are going to try to masquerade the lack of use of women that we show tonight. They will hide it with diversity. Remember I said that. Be well, everyone. Have a great night. All the best to you. And if you're around tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, I will be here for the sit-down. And you know we are going to have a banger of a show. Banger of a show. So on your way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, hit that like button. Appreciate it. If you're not a subscriber yet, yeah, I noticed we're almost at 30,000. You know, I know there's a lot of people like 30,000, you know, but you only get 4,000, 5,000 views. 90% of my audience checks out only the audio side of my stuff, because everything I do, you know, majority of people tune in just the audio side. If they feel the need that they want to go check out the video, if I'm showing a photo or showing some footage or something, then they will stop by the video channel and observe it. But so that's why it's so, you know, I think people just like to fuck with people, you know. But I tell you, you know what? Last couple of weeks, great vibes, you know, a lot of fun. And I thank you as always for the support. And, you know, we'll continue on. And I try to keep it, you know, as very neutral as possible. And I'm going to go back and watch a little bit of Impact Wrestling. And I know someone wanted to hear me talk about Mia Yim tonight. You know, I apologize for not getting into her specifically. I talked about her debut, her return to Impact 2 weeks ago on this show. Again, I opened up with it, and I'll close it with this. Out of every promotion out there, other than the only women's promotions, the ones that only feature women, Impact Wrestling has done the best out of any promotion out there. And it's cool to see how many people, and now you have Mia Yim back in the company. Really was hoping that she was going to possibly be the Joker on the women's side. But hey, you know, it is what it is. So, all right, everyone, have a good night. And I'll see you hopefully tomorrow at 8. Otherwise, Monday night after Raw at 11.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.